Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, hockey's back. Might have been overshadowed by this playoff run the Tigers went on, but I think we can still do a season fact or fiction for our hockey team. Tom, you've got some questions?
Yes, I do.
Statements?
And we can still do all these as if the season hadn't begun. We can't take any too big reactions out of playing three games, okay?
Yep.
Even though I know a few Wings fans that are out there are very upset already. All right, new Red Wing Vladimir Tarasenko will score 30-plus goals.
Fiction. He has six 30-goal seasons in his career, but not the last couple seasons. I think he'll get close with Kane, but fall short.
Yeah, I just don't think that he's got that in his game anymore. With where he is in his career, I think he can be very productive and very good for the Red Wings, but I just don't see him being a 30-plus guy right out of the gates.
All right, Alex DeBrincat will get back to his 40-goal form.
I also think fiction. He's only done it twice in his career. And I know the most recent one was obviously back in, 21 and 22 with the Blackhawks. I just don't see, especially with our experience with him, where he kind of disappeared for about a month.
Yeah, he's got to show up in March for this to happen.
Absolutely. So I just don't, I don't see that as a fact.
Two already, off to a hot start. You're right, it has to sustain. I think a full year under his belt here. I'll be bold and say fact, 40 goals for DeBrincat.
Oh, wow.
I agree with you, but he can't celebrate that they made the playoffs on February 24th and then disappear for
Agreed.
6 weeks. All right. Lucas Raymond will finish with 80-plus points. He'd be the first Red Wing to do this since 2011, which is very
crazy,
incriminating.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say fact. He takes that Kucherov jump to about 85 points.
I agree. We talked about it at the end of last year, how especially at the end of the season, he was really playing good hockey. I think he takes that next step. I know his rookie season, he had 57. It's a little bit of a step back because he played a couple less games in 22 and 23, but then last year, 72. I think his trajectory is like you mentioned, it's on the way up, and I think he's probably going to be 84, 85 points this year.
Barring injury, I'll take it a step further. He'll go 90-plus this year.
Wow. It's on the table.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right, more than three goalies will start a game this season for the Red Wings.
They've already had three, and one of them's no longer on the roster. So I think somebody at some point is going to get dinged up. They'll bring somebody else in, and yeah, I think there's at least four goalies that start games.
Well, who's the fourth?
No idea.
I don't know who it is, but I agree. I think fact. I think four goalies will play a game this year. Maybe it's Kosa on a call-up late in the season. Maybe it's a veteran goalie because of injury. They've already, to your point, John, already had three guys play.
Right.
Fact.
They're going to bring back Huso for a spot start?
Maybe.
All right. Top prospect Marco Kasper will play more than 50% of the season in the NHL.
As much as I want it to be fact, I think it will be fiction. They're not going to rush these guys. You could argue he should already be on the team, and he's not.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say fiction just because they are big on development, not being up until you're ready. I mean, we wanted, was it Simon Evanson, to be up sooner than he was last year? And at the end of the year, he looked like maybe he should have been up sooner.
Yep.
So I'm going to say, that no, he's not on the game.
Red Wings have a very tough schedule kind of to start the year. They're playing a lot of tough teams. They have not looked good, and it is very, I think tonight's a telling performance. They got to show up tonight. And if they lose in OT, okay, whatever, you take it. I'm just getting this gut feeling. I get these once in a while. We all get them, don't we?
Sure.
That Steve Yzerman is eventually going to take something out of Scott Harris and AJ Hinch's playbook, and there's going to be a rush of the young guys, and that you'll see Danielson up. He won't play 50%. I don't know if Kasper will play 50%, but I think it's going to be close.
And I do think we reach a point now where it's year six for Yzerman. If things aren't going according to plan, you have to take some risks. That might be having somebody come up before you're 100% sure.
Yeah.
It might be moving forward, handing out term that you previously weren't comfortable handing out. If you don't see the progress this season, you're going to have to get outside your comfort zone.
Jim Costa will call for Derek Lalonde to be fired before Christmas.
You mean the guy that's willing to hand out strikes? The guy that's willing to ask the question, are you doing a good job? And irritate every single coach that we interview? I'm going to say no, actually. The season ticket holder? Why am I paying all this money for this product? I don't think he will. Although the way that they've started, the apathetic look that they had on opening night, I wouldn't be shocked, but I think it's going to be longer than halfway through the season.
Well, they stayed in the locker room to watch the Tigers during the second period of that Penguin game, right? Isn't that what happened?
Could have been.
I'm going to say fiction here. I'm not ruling out the possibility that I call for him to be let go. We do see coaching changes frequently in hockey, but I think Yzerman is patient. And I'm going to at least give it through the new year. But if it's scuffling like they were last year, you got to do something.
What if they start real slow? Do you think we could call it before?
Maybe. Oh, boy.
You guys got to love that drop.
I do.
At least 197.1, the ticket host, will call for Steve Yzerman's job at the end of the season.
Oh, man. We have a lot of hosts. All it takes is one. But I'm going to say fiction. I think hot seat is as hot as it gets. No one will call for him to be fired this year.
I don't know. We got some hot take guys.
Who are you thinking?
Can I get an amen?
Oh, no, not from him. Toxic positivity. He's not going to call for someone to get fired.
Positivity. We have a new nickname.
Lions might have won a Super Bowl, but I'll tell you what, this captain's got to get out of town.
I mean, he's doing everything he possibly can.
I think that was
too.
A Mark Ryan, Brian Chapman mix.
It was a combo.
Yeah. I don't know who it's going to be. But yes, somebody hosting a show on this station will call for Steve Yzerman's job
this year.
Yeah, there's too many trolls.
All right, this one's pretty much a polar opposite. Although if he bought the wrong thing, people might call for his job. But the Red Wings will buy at the deadline.
If they're in a position to buy at the deadline, then I don't think anybody's going to be calling for his job. And you're right. If they buy the wrong guy, or if it doesn't work out and they ultimately end up missing the playoffs, somebody could call for his job. But I want them to be buyers at the deadline.
This is a will. Will they be buyers, John?
No. Steve Yzerman's not the buyer type. Everything, it feels like all the stars have to align for him to be in that position and actually make that happen. It's kind of like asking if Brad Holmes right now is going to give up two first rounders for Myles Garrett. It's out of character.
Yeah, I'm going to say fiction. I can already hear it. Yzerman saying, if I thought we were a Stanley Cup team, I would be a buyer. I think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. I think you could argue they should buy, but I think the answer is fiction, they won't buy.
Last one. All right, I'm going to add an additional one. Jim Costa will give Brad Holmes a strike if he doesn't make a trade before the deadline.
This is not Lions factor.
I'm just messing with you.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's ready to hand out strikes.
For Brad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do we call them? Miss PATs? We're calling it.
That's the football equivalent?
Yeah. Yeah. Hit the goalpost.
And that is Red Wing.
Well, no, hold on. We got one more in here.
Yeah.
What?
Will they make the playoffs?
Oh, I didn't do that one.
That's kind of the question, Tom.
Right.
The whole point of this.
The Red Wings will make the playoffs.
Fact. It's got to happen, and they've done what they need to do to get here. It's Patrick Kane a full season. It's Simon Edvinson a full season. I'm tired of hearing about, well, New Jersey's going to be good. The Wings should be good, too, okay? It's okay for our team to get better. I think the Caps / the Islanders drop out, and the Red Wings grab one of the final two spots. Fact.
I think the Caps drop out, but I don't know that the Red Wings fill that void. I want them. My expectation is that they're in the playoffs. I just don't think they are this year.
Well, or very, very early again, but the Devils look like they're back, and that was anticipated that they were going to be back to take a spot. Again, so early, but pretty much everybody assumed the New Jersey Devils would rebound this year.
Yeah, I think Devils take the cap spot, And you said the Islanders, you think the Islanders drop off?
Yeah.
Again, my expectation is that they are a playoff team this year. It's been way too long. There's been way too much going on. And I expect them to be in the place. I just don't think they do it. Especially, I mean, I know it's only, what, three games? I just don't see it.
If they don't make the playoffs, then what?
Well, then...
Because, again, no one's firing Yzerman, but is it hot seat? Is it, hey, you got to start doing stuff that you don't want to do?
Because then number seven comes true. Somebody calls for his job. It's not, I don't think it'll be either you or I.
But I think we'll call for, like, a shift in...
philosophy.
Yes, yeah, something.
In action.
And then maybe the coach that gets fired. Hey, it's
did
okay
he
to
just
have...
Did he just do it?
Yeah, but he didn't do it before December.
There should be pressure... on leadership this season. Results are required for the Red Wings.
It's so early, but there seems to just be a weird haze around this team right now. Like, just something's not right. Agree, Jim, or overreaction?
It's still a little early. I'll tell you after tonight.
I'm smelling very inconsistent play from this team.
I know, and it needs to be sharper. It needs to be better.
It feels like inconsistent want to. Which and that's can't. Very concerning.
Yeah, that cannot be the case. That's Red Wing Fact or Fiction. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you as many questions as they deem necessary to find out what is going to be the best financial plan for your situation, and then they will help you implement that plan. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community. It's where they live and work. And no one knows it better. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the two Grand Slam, we've got Heather in the news.
So Bally Sports Detroit is set to become FanDuel Sports Network, and it's happening just as the NHL and NBA seasons are going to get underway. So Diamond Sports Group, which owns Bally Sports Detroit, broadcasts, obviously, we know the Tigers, Wings, and Pistons, is set to sell the naming rights to FanDuel Sports Network in this brand new deal. Now, the thing is, it's not really going to impact the consumers in any way. It's really the name that's going to change. So consumers are going to see very little change when the switchover is made, which they say will happen at some point next week. So it's happening very soon. So channel numbers, they're going to remain the same. Content will remain the same. On-air personalities will remain the same. The network will also remain on platforms where it previously was accessible and will remain off platforms where it previously wasn't. So the thing that's going to change for you when you watch things is going to be you're going to see FanDuel logos. You're going to see some more advertising for sports gambling, right? I mean, just the name itself. Yep. And new graphics, new colors. They're going to get rid of, obviously, the Bally Red. It's going to be more of the FanDuel Blue and things like that. They do say if they air high school games, they will not have the FanDuel logo or reference to FanDuel during those games.
FDS.
Yeah, say they'll have to get a little creative with that.
Yeah.
So does anybody actually know the channel numbers anymore? I just simply just speak into the remote.
Oh, you do that?
Well, I do that because I can actually do it. You know, now that I've moved on from the cable and I'm using YouTube TV, mm-hmm. I use it through Apple, and I just speak into the remote. I say, you know, YouTube TV,
and it just takes Valley you right
Sports.
There.
So you'll have to actually say YouTube TV, FanDuel Sports.
I'm sure there are still people who know the channel numbers. They exist. I guarantee you.
I'm sure, yeah.
But John, YouTube TV didn't have Bally, so they won't have this FanDuel, just for example.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing. Like, I have the Bally app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's going to get updated at some point. And
but
it'll be
you won't have to do anything, it sounds like.
Correct.
It's just going to change the name of your app, and it's still going to be there.
And I know people are going to go, Bally was a casino. So, like, this isn't really that big of a shift.
Right. But FanDuel is a pretty big name.
Oh, huge
right?
name.
Like, everybody knows FanDuel. I didn't know Bally was a casino.
Yeah.
News to me. I'm not a gambler, but I know FanDuel, and I'm not a gambler, so
Fridays would say otherwise.
I should be a gambler, I think.
Yeah, when are you going to start betting these games?
Picks, yeah, you start betting the picks, and
I know
we need her to start because that'll cool her off.
Yeah. Detroit Police Chief James White has a new job, so he has been hired as the new CEO of Detroit Wayne Integrated Health Network. Last month, he did confirm that he was applying for this new gig, and on Wednesday, he was appointed the position. So he says he is excited to make an impact on mental health and basically said that's exactly why he wanted the position in the first place. Which is great. We need we need more help there for sure. Liam Payne, he rose to fame as a member of the boy band One Direction. Well, on Wednesday, he fell to his death from his hotel balcony in Argentina, just 31 years old. Police are still investigating. They're not sure if this was accidental, if this was an intentional fall. If you follow him on social media, I mean, he was literally posting like an hour before his death, very happy posts, thankful to be in Argentina. He was there to watch Niall Horan, one of his old bandmates, concert, right? He had just signed a new gig with Netflix. His girlfriend had joined him for a while in Argentina as well. She left before the incident took place. But the manager of the hotel actually called 911 before he fell because there was an aggressive guest destroying things in the lobby. Fans witnessed or witnesses saw him like smash his laptop, acting just erratically moments before the fall took place. It's just a tragic story. A young man, a young dad had a 7-year-old son.
31 years old, right?
Yeah. And just well-loved. I mean, there's a lot of young girls who loved One Direction.
Well, now you can't have that reunion everybody wanted to. At some point, that was always the thought that they'd all get together and do a reunion tour. So it's just really sad.
Super sad. Finally, the Tampa Bay Rays will most likely be looking for a temporary home stadium after Hurricane Milton just tore off the roof of Tropicana Field. It's unlikely that the extensive damage will be repaired and ready for opening day of 2025. Obviously, you've all seen the photos, like right the entire roof was just like shredded. So not only does that need to get fixed, but they first have to do a full engineering audit of the structure. And then they've got to file that big, huge insurance claim, which if you've ever had to do that yourself, you know, takes a little bit of time. So
yeah, can't imagine that's going to be done in 30 days.
No.
So I've seen like places thrown out in the like state and in the coast and the region. The most hilarious outcome?
Oakland.
Oakland.
Yeah.
And that's Heather with the news. All right, time for the two grand slam.
All right, let's give away some money. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if our contestant gets them all right. Simple as that. The time does tick down quickly. Use it wisely. Our contestant can pass if they're unsure, and if there's time, we'll get back to it.
Our contestant this morning hails from Westland. Josh, good morning. You're on 97.1.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm great. Excited.
All right.
Get a crack at this thing.
Have you played before?
I have not, but I listen every morning. I call in just about every morning to get on. So
excellent.
I'm ready to go.
Let's get you paid.
Your time to shine. All right, Josh, your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go. Who is the head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Sean Payton.
The Raiders traded this receiver to the Jets on Tuesday.
Devontae Adams.
Livonia is located in this Michigan county.
Wayne County.
Who is the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings?
Derek Lalonde.
What is the nickname of the Navy football team?
The Midshipmen.
Joe Montana played at this college.
Pass.
This rock band had the 1977 hit Dreams.
Pass.
The Browns traded this receiver to the Bills on Tuesday.
Amari Cooper.
He played Doug Heffernan in the sitcom King of Queens.
Pass.
This Detroit Lion wears jersey number 41.
Pass.
Joe Montana played at this college.
Notre Dame.
This rock band had the 1977 hit Dreams.
Pass.
He played Doug Heffernan in the sitcom King of Queens.
Pass.
This Detroit.
I got you with seven.
You did good on the ones you knew.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And you used your time well.
Yeah.
You didn't actually miss any. You just passed on some.
Several times.
Yeah.
No, I just botched because 41 is definitely James Houston. I just couldn't think.
And you couldn't get back to it in time.
The clock keeps on ticking.
Yeah. Yep.
But seven is 175, right? Quick math.
Mm-hmm.
It's good money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice job, Josh.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Not at all.
Yeah. We'll put you on hold. We'll go through the game. Two Grand Slam brought to you by Genesis Credit Union. He was off to a hot start.
He was.
And he's quick.
Yes.
So head coach of the Denver Broncos is Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams was traded to the Jets. Livonia is in Wayne County. Mm-hmm. Lalonde is the head coach of the Red Wings. The Midshipman, the nickname of the Navy football team. He's rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Then he passed on Joe Montana.
I was shocked. This seems to me to be basic football knowledge.
I think he's a younger guy. I think he's probably in his 20s. Late 20s, maybe. Because then he passed the next one, which was Fleetwood Mac, the rock band with 77 hit Dreams.
I thought maybe he could get it because that song came back around with that guy, the wasn't that the song, the guy on the
Ocean
skateboard?
Spray.
Yeah. Right? So it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like it kind of got a resurgence.
I was thinking of the song These Dreams by Heart.
Oh.
He passed on it twice. He just didn't know it, which is okay. Don't sit and dwell on it. Like, that's a lesson for people. If you don't know, just move on. Because he did get the Browns. They traded Amari Cooper to the Bills. He did not know who played Doug Heffernan in the sitcom King of Queens.
That's Kevin a tough James. One.
Yeah.
I think he probably could picture Kevin James, but it's not a name that, like, you just
I would
rolls
have,
off your tongue.
Yeah. Every time I see him or think of him, I think of Paul Blart.
Mall Cop.
So the Fleetwood Mac one is also a Will Ferrell's doing a commercial right now. I can't think of what the
Everywhere is the song.
Chevy.
It's the same song that Chevy used. Yes. Yeah.
The Costa car.
That's right. I want to be with you everywhere.
Oh, we got to.
All right. The last
Keep
one
going,
was
please.
No thank you.
Come on, Stoney.
Is that a requirement of sitting in this seat?
Yes.
Sure is.
The Lions that wear number 41, it's James Houston. And he knew it if he could have gotten back to it. But he used his time well. Seven's really good.
Yeah.
And you could tell he knows stuff. He listens. He knows his sports. He just.
He actually got through 13.
Because he did great.
You actually got back to the King of Queens one. Yeah. So.
To get to 13 red questions in 60 seconds, it's a good performance. We needed a good performance. It had been a minute.
We did, yes. Right. I actually thought we were going to get one there, but. Just a little bit short.
one of these days. Your next chance, Tuesday, 7:25. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the Lions. They've reached out to a pass rusher. 802, John is judging me for something. I think he's wrong, and I hope you guys will defend me. It's 97.1. And we talk about watching all these big games. The place to do it, the best pool in history, Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where the biggest games are on a viewing experience built for sports fans. A massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. You could be watching it from the pool. They have six pools, three different levels, and you always have a perfect view of the game. We're talking Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football. We play off baseball. Got that coming up with the conclusion later this month. You got hockey and basketball underway. Whatever you want to watch, it's on the big screens. They're the biggest games with the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Your perfect game day spot could be one of those cozy day beds, the private cabanas. Find a spot, lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. It's 365 days of sports poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. I did something earlier this month, and I felt judgment from John Jansen. 802, we'll discuss. Listen, we judge others. I'm fair game. But I think people will be on my side with this one.
I wouldn't be so quick to make that proclamation.
802. Lions, they are inquiring about a pass rusher, John. There's some baggage. Hassan Reddick, ESPN reporting that they are doing their, quote, due diligence. I'm open to Hassan Reddick, but I think there's got to be one key thing here. You tell me if you're with me. I don't feel comfortable giving him an extension, and that might be what breaks down the deal, but I don't feel comfortable giving this guy an extension, guaranteeing him upwards of $20 million a year beyond this season when he hasn't played, and I'm not sure how he fits into this organization.
Or into the scheme of the defense. Now, you could find a place for good football players.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong, but he's not the same type of player as Aiden Hutchinson. He's more of a James Houston, in terms of
style,
or position. And I'm with you. And I also think, I mean, everything changes with time, and the time from the beginning of the season when Hassan Reddick started his holdout to now, officially started the holdout because he wasn't there for mandatory minicamp. He wasn't there for the offseason program, waiting for this new contract. And now that you're at week seven, is he simply saying, you know what, if I'm going to play somewhere on a one-year deal, it's not going to be here with the Jets. I think they're the most likely team to actually come with an extension, whether or not you think they will. They're the team that's going to do it. The other 31 teams are looking at this as, we'll take you, we'll give up a fourth, maybe a third, for the services that you could provide for the rest of the season. And then we'll see.
So he was traded initially for a third, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if that was with the promise of an extension or not. Clearly, that's been a point of contention between him and the Jets, to the point where his agent dropped him, and now it's Drew Rosenhaus. So,
And I don't know what this, they've granted him a small window.
What does that mean?
To seek a trade. I don't know what the small, is it just from here until the trade deadline?
Which is like...
Okay, so it's small in regards to the year, the
calendar.
Yeah, right, or the regular season.
Or is the window this week? And then, they're still going to, listen, if someone called the Jets next week, they're not going to pick up the phone. He's not playing for them.
They want to get something for him.
And I think that's where you could say, hey, if you can just recoup your cost, you gave up a third, whether it's a future third or a four and a six, maybe I'm off base on the market. Because if someone's willing to extend him, they may be willing to pay him more. I just don't know that it makes sense for the Lions to trade for and extend him right now. He would make sense to me as a mercenary, right? Where hey, Hassan, clearly you're misunderstood. This is clearly all wrong. You come here, put great tape out, perform, get your sacks, get your pressures, be disruptive. And at the end of the year, if you've been a model citizen, we'll try to keep you. And if we can't keep you, everybody else in the league is going to look at you and go, wow, he kept Detroit's defense
afloat.
He could help elevate our defense, and now you go get paid on the open market. We're not going to play any games with you. We want you to help us. We'll do right by you if you do right by us.
And if you're going to be operating on a short-term deal, I think the other thing is he kind of is seeing that the Jets, not the Super Bowl hopefuls that a lot of people thought, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be back and healthy, and Garrett Wilson, and now you've got Davante Adams. Like, I don't see, they keep trying to put Band-Aids on this. You've got an interim coach, and I just don't see how they make the shift from where they are now to even being a playoff team. I think he may also be looking at this as, if I'm going to be on a one-year deal, I'm going to do it somewhere, and I'm going to do it somewhere where we might have a chance to win a Super Bowl. He was so close as an Eagle, but didn't ultimately get that Super Bowl ring. Now you look at the Lions, who have a need, who should be buyers at coming up to the trade deadline. Now all of a sudden you're looking at going, it feels like it fits for both sides, as long as it's not the promise of a long-term deal yet. You could even reach a long-term deal by the end of the year, but you've got to come in and show it, prove it, and show that you fit the scheme and long-term, and show that you fit this team and this locker room.
So people are pointing out on Ticketex, and I'll get the specifics for you here in a second, that if Hassan Reddick is traded to an NFC team, the Eagles actually get
a second
instead of a third,
mm-hmm.
which would mean the Jets don't want to give up Hassan Reddick to an NFC team unless they're being compensated enough to justify upgrading from a third to a second. Is that, how big a deal is that to you as this gets kind of bantied around as they negotiate this?
A part of the equation, but who says an AFC team is even interested?
Right. And it's a sunk cost. They want to get something for him at this point.
It's either, hey, we got to cut our losses and we'll take a third. We'll take maybe even a fourth if nobody's willing to jump up, because right now he's not playing for the Jets. You're getting zero from him. And I don't know. I don't know that if he sits out this year that he is ultimately a free agent next year. Because don't they still hold the rights to him?
In the sense that
he didn't fulfill his contract, and they still hold the rights.
You are correct on that. Okay. You have got to play out your contract. You can't just sit out to get the free agency.
Yeah, it would toll is what the phrasing is.
And the reason that Le'Veon Bell did was because he never signed the franchise or transition, whatever it was, the franchise tag that Pittsburgh wanted to put on him.
You mentioned that trigger from the Eagles that raised it to a second. That's brilliant by Roseman. Seriously, that is brilliant. You're going to trade him to an NFC contender? You're going to make our pick better. That's very sneaky.
It's shrewd. It's very sharp. It's, he's regarded as one of the better GMs, and you see it. Little details like this only reinforce that.
I mean, whatever they decide to do with him, if they bring him in, you trust it, right?
You're saying if Brad Holmes trades for Hassan Reddick.
Like, to me, this is like, in Brad Holmes, we trust. This is like, would be a perfect example of that, because there's questions about his character, right?
Yeah.
Fitting in. Well, that means they would have done their due diligence. We'll have a phone call with him probably.
Oh, yeah.
And they will, find out if he fits. And you trust that.
Well, it's going to be probably Brad, and I would imagine Dan, right? Dan's a good judge of character.
Yeah.
Because, again, these locker room post-game celebrations, Campbell has reiterated, this is a tight group. This is a really tight group, and they're going to deal with some adversity, not just the Aiden Hutchinson injury. As the season goes on, there will be other bumps, and you want to make sure you got guys in that room that when times get tough, when the bullets start flying, when you need them to step up, that they don't recoil, that they're built for it.
We've seen them pass on good players before. I mean, they had the number 6 overall pick, didn't take Jalen Carter.
Yep.
Now, how did that conversation go when he was in for his visit between Brad Holmes and Jalen Carter, Dan Campbell and Jalen Carter? It may have nothing to do with the situation that happened off the field for Jalen Carter. It may have just simply been, hey, we want to create the smokescreen. We want to make it look like we want him at 6, and then we're ultimately going to draft or trade down so we could take Jahmyr Gibbs.
The big concern here is if he agrees to come here and he will do it without an extension, how does that not surface at some point again for him?
His unhappiness, you're saying?
Yeah. I guess if things don't go so well here, it will resurface. But if they're winning, they don't. I actually said jokingly to Greg, it'd be interesting to put a trigger in this trade for him. Make the Super Bowl, 3-year contract extension.
That's feels complicated.
Yeah.
I would say maybe more incentive bonuses would make more sense. You make the Super Bowl, we throw you $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things would be, you know, we're operating on faith.
Right.
You know, you've promised this. And if we make the Super, we win the Super Bowl, then I get X, Y, and Z as a contract. But on his side, if he is, quote unquote, the savior of Detroit's defense, why would he not want to hit the open market?
Do you guys feel at all I think he's undergone a little bit of character assassination here. Yeah,
there's no question, but he's kind of done it to himself.
To a degree.
When your agent drops you, that was a huge red flag to me.
Agent drops you, we talked about the samurai outfit, being in Japan. And I mean, you could do all of those things, but it's the context and the timing of which he did them.
We want to get some phone calls in. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. 248-539-9797. Lions reaching out about Hassan Reddick. Is this the best answer? How would you feel about it? It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. Whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random person that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
All right, let's get to the phones. Every day, a new report about a pass rusher. This one from ESPN, Hassan Reddick. He's available, and the Lions have inquired. What do you make of the fit? Do you have any reservations? Let's get to Ty in Clinton Township. You're on 97.1.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How we doing? Number one, we all know if he doesn't fit the culture of this team, he's not coming here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a done deal. But if he does, and they bring him in, I think for a second round choice, and if the money's right, the extension right, it's a given. And last, this would be more of a replacement of Barnes than Hutch. We can't forget about we lost Derek Barnes pretty much for the season, correct?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's officially for the season, but it's an extended absence.
Yeah.
And you're right, linebacker, that you're talking like the end, someone who can come up against the run and the pass, but more of a Sam linebacker role is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think we all know we can't replace Hutch.
Right.
This is not going to happen. It's not realistic in this world. We all know that. But I think it would help if he does fit the culture, and it would because of the Barnes situation. I think he'd be more of a replacement for Barnes than Hutch because we know we can't replace Hutch.
Yeah, in the sense he could be a replacement from Hutch in that you need third down, hand in the dirt, pin your ears back, get to the quarterback guys, and Reddick has done it. He had 16 sacks a couple years ago, 10-plus sacks for four straight seasons. John, I think it's tough. Like, sure, if he fits the culture, how can you 100% know? It's why he may require an extension. I don't know how you could in confidence give him an extension right now. Right?
What's more out of character? Trading and giving up two first-round picks for a Myles Garrett, if, let's just say, that is an option. Even know if that's an option.
Sure.
That's option one. Or trading for Hassan Reddick and giving him an extension.
That one feels more out of character. Trading for a guy with some questionable, and I want to be fair, I don't know if he's a bad guy, but questionable right. character concerns, and an extension before he's earned it, or taking a guy who is a proven commodity in Myles Garrett, who he's already on a deal that times up well for the next couple seasons for you to chase the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but out of character for Brad Holmes. It's out of character for both.
Sure.
So, given the option, which one do you think Brad Holmes would jump at? The Myles Garrett and two first-round picks, or Hassan Reddick? You have giving up less because we know Brad Holmes is good at the draft.
Yeah.
But then having to promise an extension.
It's tough because we only know of one player who is actually available in this scenario.
Right. And I don't know that it's character questions, you know, or questions about his character. It's just you don't know what you don't know. And the only way to find out is when he's in the locker room, he's on the practice field, he's in the meeting rooms, and he's preparing for games and then ultimately performs in games. Like until he's on the roster, you're never really going to know. Right. Even when you draft a guy, you know, they've hit on their on a large number of draft picks, high percentage of draft picks, but they're doing the same evaluation in the same way. They're talking to coaches, they're talking to administrators, they're talking to everybody they possibly can. And some of them are always going to say, oh, yeah, that's a great guy. That's why they don't necessarily ask. They ask me about guys that came in for free. How would he fit? But they don't. I didn't get a call from, you know, when I was with Washington, I didn't get a call from Detroit and say, how is this guy? Because they don't, is he my friend? I'm just going to tell him he's great. Or maybe I don't want him to go there. I'm going to say, oh, he's a jerk.
Ticket texters, could the Lions be letting it leak? They're kicking the tires on Reddick to drive down the price of a different pass rusher. Possible.
Sure.
Ticket texter says, I'm concerned that he sat multiple months. He might physically not be in football shape until later. We have key games coming up right now, this week and the coming weeks.
Well, it's a guarantee he's not in football shape. He may be in great physical condition. I expect him to. He's a pro. He's a guy that's really good at what he does, and you don't last and perform the way that he does without being in great shape all year long. But he is not in football shape.
I think it's a character mismatch. The Lions culture is such an important part of this team. I don't think they're going to bring someone in that might cause difficulties within the culture. More people echoing that, saying the more I think about it, it's a hard no for me. I just don't think he's a good enough teammate. This is a ticket text that I have not double checked. It says, hey guys, just started listening. It may have come up. There's a connection to Reddick on the staff. Steve Heiden coached in Arizona. Brett Fisher, the Lions director of player performance, was in Arizona during his time there as well. I'm sure they are both being asked about him as a teammate and would give me some comfort if they did trade for him in Brad We Trust. Football small world. Let's get to Corn in Columbus. You're on 97.1.
So, I mean, I understand that, you know, the Aiden Hutchinson, you know, the injury really kind of put a damper on the whole Dallas game. But, I mean, I'm not sure we need to make a move and pull the trigger just yet. Brian Branch had his best game as a Lion. Terrion Arnold had his best game as a Lion. Ennis Rakestraw came in garbage time, but he still made some plays. I mean, Aleem McNeil still wrecked the game. We still got a lot of young, ascending talent. Jack Campbell still filling holes, making tackles. I think he got a pass breakup as well. Like, we still have a very young defense that's ascending, and I want to see what that looks like in Minnesota, Houston, Green Bay. Now, Houston might be week 9, so that might be too late. But let's see what they look like against Minnesota, against Green Bay, and really see what we have. Obviously, losing Aiden is huge, and it could have made us a number one defense. But still, with the young pieces that we have, I still think we're a really, really, really good defense. I don't think the sky's falling at all. I mean, listening to Dan and actually just watching the tape, or not the tape, but watching the game, you know, after Aiden goes out, and really what we were, I mean, even when our defense was really good, I mean, Aiden was getting some pressure, but, you know, I think he only had like the one sack and maybe a tackle for loss, which obviously is huge. But I mean, our defense is still ascending right now. So I want to see what they look like against some other guys before we make a move and maybe mortgage some of our future for the right now.
You like the team you put together?
Love the team that we got put together, man. I mean, like you said, these guys are playing tight. I mean, DJ Reader has been huge. I mean, all the names that you guys are talking about in training camp are starting to show up. Josh Pascal comes in, gets a sack. Neiman comes in the next play after Aiden goes down, gets a sack. I think we still have a really, really good defense. I really trust Aaron Glenn to call the game. Without Aiden, I'm pretty sure they prepared for this. You know, if Aiden goes down, if this player goes down, if this player goes down, how do we react? I just want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
We got a good test in Minnesota coming up.
Of course.
See what that looks like before we make a move.
Yeah, Corn, and I think some of this too, like Aiden played so many snaps. I think it's really tough. Like, you may have contingency plans, but the guy hardly ever left the field. So I agree with his overall premise that the secondary's improved, John. I do think Carlton Davis has been as good, if not better, than I expected him to be. I think Terrion Arnold is rounding a corner. I love what Brian Branch does, Kirby Joseph. You know how important the line of scrimmage is because we see it on offense with this football team. I don't want to discount how important losing a guy, the best guy from your defensive line is. If you lost Penei Sewell, you wouldn't go, well, we have Decker and Ragnow. It would be a big deal to lose someone like that. And he's the Penei Sewell of the defense.
Yeah. I mean, to think that the defense is just as good now as they were Sunday morning is it's stupid.
And he didn't say that.
No. But Can they still win? Yes. Are they going to have to win in different ways? Yes. There is, I mean, to use the analogy that we used for the Tigers, the group effort, it's going to be a group effort pass rush. You already mentioned, not one guy is going to step in there and even play the same number of snaps
right.
that Aiden Hutchinson played, let alone get the production that Aiden Hutchinson played. So you're going to have to find bodies to put out there, let alone bodies that could find production.
Hutch was the number one defensive player in the NFL at this point in the season. So that's why we're talking about additions. Do I think, as currently constructed, they can beat Minnesota this week? Yes, they're underdogs, but yes, they can win. Do I think they can win this division as currently constructed? Yes. Do I think they can win playoff games in the Super Bowl? It's going to be hard, but yeah, I do think it's possible. Why wouldn't you want to give yourself the best chance? Which is why we bring up names. 248-539-9797. Coming up next, more of your phone calls on this, but also, you can stand in judgment of me. I think you'll have my back. John has been judging me off air. We'll bring this to the forefront. John, I said I did something earlier this month, and I've been getting aggressive side eye.
Yeah.
I think Heather will have my back.
I have thoughts.
I have thoughts. I love it.
That doesn't sound like Heather has my back.
Great tease.
All right. It's next, 97.1.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.